Hey everyone, Dr. Miles here. And in this video, we're going to talk about pharmaceutical treatment options for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. There is a study that showed that rifaximin, which is Xifaxan or rifaximin antibiotic, it's a very interesting antibiotic in that it's typically confined to the small intestine for its activity. It doesn't have such an effect on the large intestine bacteria as many other antibiotics do, and it also doesn't have such a systemic effect in terms of getting into the bloodstream and impacting bacteria throughout the body. So it's a relatively low in side effect antibiotic with lower chances for certain kinds of things to happen afterwards, like Clostridium difficile or yeast overgrowth. So it's a nice antibiotic in the sense that it doesn't destroy a lot of the healthful bacteria or the probiotic bacteria, and it does clear very nicely small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. In studies, it's been shown to be effective at treating small intestinal bacterial overgrowths at doses as low as 1,200 milligrams per day for at least 10 days and up to 1,650 milligrams per day for 14 days in some studies. So one study that showed 16 milligrams per day to be significantly higher efficacy for SIBO with respect to 1,200 milligram per day with similar compliance and side effect profile. So 600 milligram per day in this study was shown to be more effective than 1,200 milligram per day. We'll go over some of the research that looks at effectiveness rates for different doses and talk a little bit about advantages and disadvantages of different doses in this video. When there's a methane type of SIBO, so if there's hydrogen type SIBO, rifaximin is very effective. But if there's a methane type of SIBO or a hydrogen and methane type of SIBO, rifaximin alone is not as effective as rifaximin plus neomycin together. So neomycin is another antibiotic that can be added in tandem with rifaximin when treating a methane type of SIBO. So this study looked at rifaximin and neomycin combination versus rifaximin alone in those with lactulose breath test positives for a SIBO elevation, for a methane gas type of elevation. And so the eradication rates were 87% with rifaximin and neomycin combination versus only 33% of the neomycin group and 28% of the rifaximin group. So as you can see, the combination of rifaximin plus neomycin adds up to more than a combination of the eradication rates in just one or the other of neomycin or rifaximin. So really very important to combine rifaximin together with neomycin when dealing with a methane type of SIBO. And neomycin, unlike rifaximin, is going to impact the large intestinal bacteria, but it is still not systemic, so it won't go so widespread. But it does still have that large intestinal bacterial impact, so you have to keep that in mind for neomycin. So thanks to Dr. Allison Seebecker for her wonderful website, SIBOinfo.com, where she summarized many of the studies. So here you can see that for hydrogen or hydrogen sulfide type of SIBO treatment, rifaximin or Xifaxan for 10 to 14 days can be a very effective treatment. The research showed for 1600 milligrams at 10 days had 70 to 85% success for normalizing lactulose breath testing, and 82% for normalizing glucose breath testing. So remember, lactulose breath test is the test that we typically use. Glucose breath testing can be used and has some advantages in less false positives, but more false negatives. So lactulose breath testing, when you know how to interpret, is our preferred method for testing. So 70 to 85% success rate for normalizing an abnormal lactulose breath test at 1600 milligrams per day times 10 days. At 1650 milligrams per day, which is a 550 TID dosing for 14 days, that had similar results, and that's Dr. Pimentel. And so it's a that's Dr. Pimentel's dose of choice, and so many people use that dose, and it's a very good and effective dose to use. It can get expensive. So 1650 milligrams per day for 14 days is going to be your highest end of dosing. And if insurance will not cover it, then you're looking at a very, very high cost. Luckily, insurance has approved rifaximin coverage for IBS-D diagnosis. So you need the IBS-D diagnostic code in order to get coverage, and insurance plans may vary, but there is some chance of getting coverage, which is greatly helpful, because otherwise the costs can be significant for rifaximin. 1,200 milligrams daily at 14 days had an 87-91 success rate on glucose breath testing, with a 90-94% symptom improvement. That study did not look at lactulose breath testing. So 1,200 milligrams at 14 days may still be effective, although we did have that other study showing a direct comparison between 1,600 milligrams and 12 milligrams, showing 1,600 being more effective in a direct comparison study, which a direct comparison study is more, gives us more weight than these isolated studies, because these isolated studies did not directly compare the two doses. And when not comparing the two doses, the patient populations may be different and the performers of the research may be different. So there are more variables at play. So with the comparison study, we do see the 1600 milligram more effective than the 1200 milligram. One interesting study is there was a 1200 milligram daily times 10 days, which normally wouldn't get great success rate, but it added 5 grams per day partially hydrolyzed guar gum, or PHGG, and that had an 87% success rate for normalizing glucose breath testing with 91% symptom improvement. Now, that is a noteworthy finding, and the reason it's noteworthy is because it's lower dose, 1200 milligrams, it's lower duration, it's 10-day duration, and it added 5 grams per day of a prebiotic, which would be strange to think of when we know that low FODMAP diets and specific carbohydrate diets tend to avoid prebiotics and then show symptom improvement for SIBO. So it's a little strange, but basically from an understanding of microbiology, there is a theory that is basically saying that well-fed bacteria are going to respond better to antimicrobial therapy than starved bacteria. So if we starve bacteria with low FODMAP and or SCD diets and we don't give any sort of prebiotic addition, then we may actually be lowering our success rates. That's not clear. There's never been a study looking directly at that, so we can't make that conclusion for sure. What we can say is that adding partially hydrolyzed guar gum is an effective addition. So we know that for sure. We don't know exactly why, but one theory is that it may be that well-fed bacteria respond better to antimicrobial therapy, in which case if we're suggesting or recommending low FODMAP and or SCD diets due to lowered symptom profile research shown for those diets, which is great research, we may want to add something like partially hydrolyzed guar gum during antimicrobial treatment, regardless of whether it's pharmaceutical antibiotics or herbal antimicrobials. When to add rifaximin. So for cases of constipation, you want to add to rifaximin, and either neomycin, as we've already discussed and gone over that research, or an alternative is metronidazole. And metronidazole, if you want the systemic impacts for other reasons, that might be a better choice than neomycin, which gets large intestine and small intestine, but does not have systemic presence in the bloodstream to a large degree. So if you want that presence in the bloodstream for other reasons, let's say someone's getting some dental work, then metronidazole may be advisable over neomycin if you don't want to have to have another separate probiotic for those, antibiotic for those antimicrobial impacts that you're going to need for the dental procedure. So that's one that's probably a rare need, but know that metronidazole is an option to combine with rifaximin in the cases of constipation and or methane type SIBO. So if there's alternating diarrhea and constipation, if methane gas levels are normal, rifaximin can be used alone. But if methane gas levels are high or there's constipation, that's when we want to add rifaximin and add neomycin or metronidazole. If small intestinal fungal overgrowth, or SIFO, is also suspected, there's no test for it, so you have to clinically suspect that that's something, and you might ask people about if they have a tendency towards yeast overgrowth or yeast infections of various sorts, or if you do a stool test and see yeast on it, or if you do candida antibodies in the blood and see them elevated, those might be signs. Or if you do an organic acids test and see yeast markers, yeast metabolites elevated, those might be signs, but they're not for sure. So if you have a clinical suspicion of small intestinal fungal overgrowth, or you have a recurrent and stubborn case of SIBO that might be combined with SIFO, then you will want to also add nystatin and or fluconazole for 2 weeks. So those are when to add to the rifaximin typical treatment. So here you can see for hydrogen and hydrogen sulfide type SIBO, our general recommendation is rifaximin or xifaxan, which is available in doses of 200 milligrams or 550 milligrams, and the total daily dose of 1,200 milligrams to 1,650 milligrams are going to be applied for 10 to 14 days, probably with the possibly with the addition of something like partially hydrolyzed guar gum, or Optifiber Lean is a Zymogen supplement that is also a prebiotic that may be helpful, although there's not direct research like there is on partially hydrolyzed guar gum. Rifaximin pediatric dosing, if working with children, would be 600 milligrams per day times 7 days in one study, which had a 64% success rate for normalizing lactulose breath testing. Basically, when calculating dose, you'll look at about 10 to 30 milligrams per kilogram body weight for IBD, for irritable bowel diseases, and that had a 61% symptom relief. Higher dose had greater reduction in pain. So you can look at 10 to 30 milligrams per kilogram in cases of irritable bowel disease for pediatric dosing, even higher if there's extra pain. And you can look at 600 milligrams per day for SIBO, and that's times 7 days, although know that it only had a 64% success rate normalizing lactulose breath testing, so maybe it was a bit low. But that's the research that's available to us. For methane type or constipation predominant SIBO, we want to add to the rifaximin, which is the 1,200 to 1,650 milligram at the 10 to 14 days, plus we want to add neomycin 500 milligrams twice per day, 10 days. So a study found rifaximin 1,200 milligrams per day and neomycin 1,000 milligrams per day times 10 days had 87% success rate for normalizing lactulose breath tests. Dr. Pimentel now uses 1,650 milligrams daily for the rifaximin portion of that dosing, even though that study that he did had 1,200 milligrams in it. He's changed his opinion and changed his dosing of rifaximin to be 1,650 milligrams based on his clinical observations. An alternative would be rifaximin 1,600 or 1,650 milligrams daily plus metronidazole at 750 milligrams daily for 10 days. And that's currently being researched. There is not the results available at present, but they should be at some point, and it is looking promising. So that is the pharmaceutical treatment of small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. In the next video, we'll be looking at herbal treatment of small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. I highly recommend that if you have a tendency to use pharmaceuticals or to use herbals, that you do watch and digest the information for both of these, because SIBO is one of those conditions that can recur and that people can sometimes have one round of treatment and have it not be successful. And in those cases, it's good to have multiple ways of treating and ways to recommend treatment. And so I do encourage you, please watch both treatments. And in our clinic, we typically start with herbal treatment and get great results using herbal treatment. And herbal treatment has a lower side effect profile and a slightly higher success rate based on one of the research studies. And so please do review that information. We look forward to sharing it with you in the next video. Thank you for watching.